Yes, see, dude. I got a question
Take it
for
away.
you, brother.
Take
Stone
it away.
Cold Steve Austin wants to know if you want to see Snailzilla in Los Angeles. Give me a big old snail, yeah. That's a snail, yeah, brother. We are Deferred Collusion. I am Brandon. This is your host, Jesse. We are co-partners, co-hosts, and co-deferred collusionists in this, the latest signing for your World Series championship Dodgers, Blake Snell.
I'm switching to lefty for this episode.
Look at that. He's switching to lefty, and he's switching that box from bi-curious to full-on bisexual. Jesse, welcome. You are out
absolutely
partying. How are we feeling today?
Feeling great. I was at the grocery store last night, checking out, you know, just buying some things, last minute things for Thanksgiving. And I'm in the checkout line and I get notification that Blake Snell posted a photo of himself in a Dodgers uniform on his Instagram account. And the internet was going crazy for about 7 minutes. Nobody knew what was going on for like the 7 minutes of just chaos. Nobody knew what was happening. Is he trolling? What's happening? And then sure enough, Mark Feinstein put out a tweet saying that Blake Snell signed a five-year, $182 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. It is totally came out of nowhere, I got to be honest. Like you and I were both picking. We did a preview of free agency. We both said you had him going to the Red Sox. I had him going to the Mets. And I thought the Angels were a sleeper team in this, potentially for Snell. And they ended up getting Yusei. They got a different lefty. They got Yusei Kikuchi. Dodgers get Blake Snell. First off, before we go anywhere with this, I do just want to say, based on how things went last season, with Snell having trouble getting a contract, didn't sign a contract until like a few weeks before opening day. He had like an extended spring training at the Boris facility, struggled a little bit in the first half, and then he just fucking turned it on in the second half, had a great year. And then he got the five-year deal, which is really, if you just combine it with last year's deal, it's like 6 years, $210 million or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it comes out to. But this is a win for Blake Snell and Scott Boris. But congratulations, Blake Snell. You did it, man. You got the contract you deserved.
Yeah,
you absolutely
man
deserved it.
Money well spent. Jess, I had a little stat for you. Over the past 2 years, in 2023, 2024, Snell is number one in four categories, dude. And that's ERA at 2.57, K rate 32.7. Honit's batting average, 178.
Yeah, sorry, it says app in the notes. I apologize.
I know, it's all good. And the opponent's OPS, that's a .560, kid. Is that bad, dude?
Yeah.
Is that bad, dude? I think I might have read your stat line, too. I'm sorry about that, but it's exciting.
You did. You read my stat. So I'm going to read your stat.
Read it to me, dude.
Well, it's amazing because you get this perception that Snell is actually like on the third tier of the Corbin Burns, Max Fried, Blake Snell, the trio of free agency pitchers, right? A lot of people believe that like Snell is like third in that line. I actually think that Snell has an argument for like being the best pitcher. He has two Cy Youngs. Let's not forget. The dude has two Cy Youngs. You win it once, shame on you. Win it twice, shame on me for doubting that you're not one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And there's an argument that he might be the best pitcher in baseball statistically, and it's just not as sexy because he walks a lot of guys, right? I think that's like there's a lot of people that just kind of like he doesn't go deep into games all the time.
Yeah.
But he actually went into the sixth and seventh inning a lot this past year, and this is an interesting one that you put in there. Among pitchers with at least 250 innings pitched over the last three seasons, Blake Snell is one of six with a FIP below three. The other five are Ronaldo Lopez, which, hey, good for you, Ronaldo Lopez. I didn't see a crack in that list. Then there's Tyler Glasnow, Chris Sale, Tarik Skubal, Spencer Strider. Are those guys any good?
Pretty filthy lineup right there, dude.
Corbin Burns and Max Fried ain't on that list.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? So, like, in terms of best free agent pitcher available, I actually think the Dodgers got it.
You know, Jess, I do think I agree with you. You make a really good point about the tier of free agency, and maybe
step a little closer to the microphone. Get closer to the microphone.
Maybe it's a little recency bias, just having seen, you know, Freed in the World Series a couple of years ago. You know, Corbin just leading that studded Milwaukee squad to get traded over to the upstart Orioles. I know they didn't have the success they were hoping for in the playoffs, but again, still just super, super talented, looking for, you know, 200 plus. And Jess, I didn't know that I liked him as a fit for the Dodgers at that price point. But Snell, I didn't even think was in the cards. Like you had mentioned, I was telling people at a one-year-old's birthday, I was telling my sweet darling, happy first birthday, darling, but to her dad, Daniel, big Red Sox fan. I was like, dude, you heard it here first. Red Sox are signing Snell. They're signing Soto. This is what they've been saving for, you know, like the return of Boston is back. Well, you know what? Fuck me for disrespecting Andrew Friedman's game plan of just having the nastiest staff on planet Earth. My God.
They're really throwing some money out there, man. I mean, we're kind of entering the official Dodgers villain arc now. This is definitely Dodgers evil empire.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, like, as bad as some people are making it, which we're going to get to here. I just want to give some, like, quick details on the contract. There was a $52 million signing bonus in the deal, which I believe is additional. I could be wrong. I'm having a little trouble, like, understanding the language of some of these tweets that are out there, so I apologize. If anybody's watching this has better insight to whether or not that bonus weighs into the 186 or to the 182, or if it's, you know, additional, or how it counts against the luxury tax, because I don't actually think that the bonus, the $52 million bonus, does not count against your CBT. So I think they're in the clear in that regard. $52 million bonus. There's $13 million a year in deferrals, which is $65 million total over the course of the contract. And that term deferrals is triggering a lot of people here in the baseball world. Limited no trade clause as well. No opt-outs. So the Dodgers have Blake Snell for the next five seasons, assuming he does not get traded. So, it's 36.4 AAV, $36.4 million AAV, but only 32 to 33 is counting on the books. So that's because of the deferrals.
Wow. Credit to the fucking accountants for the Guggenheim Group figuring out how to...
They're working overtime.
For real. But, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, like, stupidly saying that baseball needs a salary cap, which is just dumb. So every dollar over that salary cap would go to these billionaire owners who are choosing not to spend money on players and building a competitive team. Your favorite team made more than the most expensive team salary last year. So let's not get it twisted, right? Any team could be spending like this, but let's be real. We got two teams playing in fucking minor league stadiums this year. So I guess you really only got 28 teams that really could attract free agents. But for Snell, I mean, this is a guy who was looking to get his money. And for a premier team, the envy of all sports, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Quote me on that, Jesse. The Dodgers are currently the envy of every major sporting franchise, at least in this country, right? I mean, of the big three.
The most well-run. They spend the most money. They're the most well-run, but they get the most out of their money. I think that's what really makes people more angry than anything, is that they get the bang for their buck. They know how to maximize their dollar.
How many pitchers have revived their career in the bullpen of the Dodgers, you know, or, you know, on that, just, you know, becoming a starter all over again? I mean, guys like Rich Hill back in, like, you know, 2017, 18, I think, signed with the Dodgers to, you know, Blake Treinen finding a home there again. I know I'm just kind of going off, but, like, Noah Syndergaard, a guy that didn't really work out, but literally specifically said that a couple off seasons ago, that's why he wanted to go to LA, was to get back his stuff, you know, didn't work out. But we've seen a ton of guys, you know, Tyler Anderson. I can go down the line, but guys that would go on and sign for big money. It's no wonder to me that Snell would want to be a part of this. It's, I don't know. I guess it's tough if you're, you know, I guess it's just tough. Your ownership isn't doing everything they can to make your team competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some people, you know, using like this stat that apparently, out of all the dollars the Dodgers have thrown out the past two off seasons, it's like $1.6 billion or something, like whatever it is. It's more than the rest of the league combined.
Wow.
And so I understand why they're like, that just seems crazy. Like, yeah, sure, that on the surface of things, that sounds insane. But when you look at like the actual like payroll situation, the Dodgers aren't spending that much more. This season in particular, with winning the World Series, they were spending less than teams that they beat.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
And I think people have short memories. They forget that, right? That like, oh, the Dodgers didn't go heavy in free agency in 2023. You know, they've traded for guys and then signed extensions. Yeah. But also like the massiveness of Shohei's contract buoys a lot of the absurdity of these numbers, you know? But that's the trickiness. If you're just looking at it as black and white ink, you know, our black ink on white paper, It kind of is misleading, but Shohei's his own fucking economic powerhouse, you know, dude. I think
he's probably his own economy.
Exactly. He's his own economy. And it's like, yeah, dude, we can afford to pay him, you know, $100 million a year for 7 years down the line or whatever they're doing because we're making so much scratch now. You know, they're going to build a fucking bridge to Japan with all this money they're making.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's you're holding the Dodgers responsible because they mentioned how a lot of the fans in the comments were saying things like that a salary cap is needed. I would argue that a salary floor is needed that requires teams to spend a certain amount of money every year in order to stay competitive. This is sort of what the NBA does. The NBA, they have their... But they do have a salary cap where you have these like max contract slots that you basically have to use and you have to spend this amount of money. You basically have to max out your salary. Every team has to do it. And I like that idea, but when you don't have a salary cap, you kind of can't do it. You're kind of operating on a different threshold. You're asking teams to do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were in a salary cap league.
Yeah, and so, just to your point,
but what I was going to say about it is the argument about how there's a salary cap needed or that like teams can't spend the money. I do think there are a couple of teams that like would have trouble spending money on free agents. Just the sales wouldn't justify it. They might actually like you might end up like breaking even or not making a profit, losing money. So there are a couple of teams out there that might do it. But out of all of them, I mean, there's like revenue sharing in baseball.
Yeah.
They're getting proceeds from the Dodgers, you know, attendance. You know, they're getting proceeds from everybody's getting proceeds from all of the viewership that the Dodgers generate in the World Series. They're all benefiting from it. So they're getting money from it that they could spend if they want to. And you're holding the Dodgers accountable for the fact that they are in Los Angeles and it's easier to market yourself in a big city like that. You're holding them accountable for that. That's not their fault.
And just to that point, right? And just about ineffective ownership. John Fisher, I believe, when he bought the A's, or when his parents bought the A's, I think their payroll was around like $54 million, and now 20 some odd years later, it's sitting around $50 million. So adjust for inflation, the guy's fucking, you know, paying probably 20% less in salary over that time, you know? So like you were saying, and even about the profit sharing, I'm pretty positive. A big reason why it was like foot in the ground, like, nope, no deals happening. We're moving. Was that I think they had to have it decided that they had a new ballpark and all this shit to get like $100 million in profit sharing, from the league. And there you go. You know, it's just more bullshit, but I feel for fans that are frustrated by ineffective ownership, but to be mad because a team is spending, paying market value for players, and not spending just stupid, right? But like signing good contracts, making good trades, and like you said, doing the most with the talent they do acquire. So then when you couple that with an appealing marketplace or place to live, Yeah, dude. But let's not forget, like, there's been some really high-tier free agents that have chosen not to stay in L.A., like Max Scherzer, yeah, like Corey Seager, homegrown guy, like Trey Turner. You know what I mean? These are guys who would go sign massive deals with the Mets, the, you know, for Scherzer and Turner with the Phillies,
Phillies and
Seager with and the Rangers. Rangers. And, you know, nobody says dick when it's that, but whoa, they won the World Series. They signed the best player in baseball. You know, I don't know. It's,
dude, I remember when the Padres went out, went crazy handing out contracts to, you know, they traded for Soto. They extended Tatis. They signed Xander Bogaerts. They signed Yu Darvish. They made all these crazy signings, and everybody was praising them for how, like,
but that turned out, you know,
how dead set they were on winning. And it's, I can understand being tired of a team. I get it. You're tired of the Dodgers winning. That's like,
I
obviously, if I was not a Dodger fan, I would hate them. But I would like to think that I didn't hate them for spending money. Because
yeah,
that just seems like, what is the point of all this if the players aren't going to go? First of all, these players want to sign with the Dodgers. They want to go to LA. It's not just because they're getting outbid. They want to go there. They stand to gain more outside, off the field, just as much as on the field. But also, it's your best chance to win. But also, they're one of the few teams making the offers.
Absolutely. And dude, Jesse, people are forgetting that their team's owners, winning isn't their big fucking priority. A lot of these guys are hedge funds or whatever. This is just a money-making machine. So they're only going to spend so much, rake in the dough, and you go, oh, fuck, we need a fucking salary cap because the Dodgers signed Snell. It's like, come on, bud. We have a league that is riddled with owners that need to get out and make way for guys that want to win and make money. And it's I'm sorry, the Dodgers are proving you can do both and stay competitive for a long time. And that's what we want to see, right, as fans. I've been a Raider fan, embarrassing, my whole life. And it's I watch less football because the Raiders have been so ineffective and so uncompetitive for now 20 years. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like there is some of that still in baseball, but I feel like it's kind of aging out a little bit. I fucking hope. I don't know.
Well, I do think that some of this too is frustration with like how good the Dodgers run things, because they know that they're going to do the most with the players that they get. I know I mentioned this before, but it's investing in – you're investing in people around the players as well. That's what the Dodgers do really well, is they put a lot of money into their staff and their hitting coaches. They went out and they overpaid to get the best hitting coaches, the Swing Kings. You can read all about it. There's a book about it. They went and basically they took them off the books. They went out and they got guys like Robert Von Scoyak, who turned around Chris Taylor's career, J.D. Martinez's career. These guys that are like geniuses in their field. And, you know, they encourage guys to go check out like Driveline in the offseason. But they also, you know, they hire the best mathematicians for the analytics department. They do all of those things, and they offer them more money to get those guys. And yes, that is a byproduct of having a great TV deal and more revenue and more money. But your team, at the very least, there are horror stories, but like the Pirates organization, not willing to spend money on those things, just not willing to put money into those player development aspects, the analytical aspects and things that are, you know, keeping up with the game, that could, even if you don't sign the big free agents, you could still put money in those things that don't count against the luxury tax.
Yeah.
You could still do that stuff.
Yeah,
and they choose not to.
Yeah,
so, and you're telling me that helps you by not doing it because you're saving a few bucks.
And the
why not get the most out of the players you have by investing in, you know, the human capital around them.
And one last thing, just to I think final nail in our point, you know, to really hammer it home that this isn't a team problem, this isn't a fucking player problem being greedy, this is a bad ownership problem, Jesse. How far are we removed from the Frank McCourt era? The Dodgers going bankrupt? I mean, a messy divorce.
2014.
I mean, It's crazy. I think it was a little bit even before that. I think because like 2013.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, you're right. It was before
maybe
that,
2011, like 2012.
When they sold or something. Yeah,
yeah, maybe 2012, 2013. I mean, the McCourt still owned the fucking parking lot. And if you cruise through a Dodger game, you'll notice how shit it is compared to the, you know, super updated, gorgeous, classic ballpark, third oldest in baseball. But yeah, man, it's... it makes
but
an
the parking
incredible
prices
difference.
Keep increasing, but the quality of the parking lot keeps decreasing.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
you can't
yeah.
Even
that...
fucking tailgate and you're spending $80 on parking.
Yep. But you know yeah. what? That place is sold out. Fucking yeah. however many home games there are a year, 81 games a year plus playoff. I mean,
yeah.
In a highly competitive market in LA where there's, you know, how many theaters, how many events, how many whatever just to do. That place is still pulling because people love something that is, you know, it's only happening tonight. It's only here. And it's of a culture, right? Like you have commonality with your neighbors and shit. And like,
yeah
dude,
but it's also proof that if you invest in the player, sorry. It's also proof that if you invest in the players, people will come to watch.
Totally.
You know,
and now look at the culture that they've developed. You know, they got Shohei deferring $680 million. You got who else is Mookie, $100-something million. Freddie's $60-something million. You know, fucking Captain America himself, Will Smith, signed that $140 million deal, and $50 million of it is deferred. I mean, these are like leaders in your clubhouse and in the league, really. And you're seeing these guys defer money because they're like, no, I want to win. I want to help build a better team around me. And it's fucking cool, dude. I mean, you really got to get a lot of people to buy in. And I think that's because of the hard work, dedication, and work ethic of none other than Clayton Kershaw, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Dude,
I think that's where this all begins, dude. I think this, like, they have built a clubhouse around somebody or a culture around somebody who just has done it since he was a 20-year-old kid, drafted out of high school straight into the pros. Just that, I think that's going to be his ultimate legacy, dude, in Dodger Blue, dude. Quote me on that.
It's sacrifices. It's personal sacrifices. It's like Kershaw's like a little bit like Tom Brady in that regard. He doesn't have the championships, but he does so many sacrifices. And I think Ohtani, you mentioned the deferrals, sacrificing the $68 million a year because you know he's going to make money in endorsements.
Totally.
But he did it so that the Dodgers could do this right now.
Yeah.
And you're seeing stories about like Soto wanting to sign his contract that he's not willing to take deferred money.
Yeah.
It's like, well, dude, you're in this era of owners not wanting to spend money. This is a way that you could sort of help
this
that situation
workaround.
A little bit. And you make these sacrifices and look what happens. Look at everything that has followed since Shohei did that. And you mentioned all of it since 2020, in July of 2020. When Mookie Betts signed his contract with the Dodgers, the Dodgers have deferred $964 million of their contracts.
That is such a spicy meatball, dude. But
yeah,
like I said, that is a testament to the culture that they have created, that they have gotten the biggest stars in the game to buy into.
Yeah.
You know, so, I named a couple of guys that could have been on that, you know, that chose their own path. And I think that's awesome, too. I'm interested to see what the fallout is from this and how teams react. Jess, there's a couple of guys that this is going to have a huge impact on. Corbin Burns being, I think, chief among them. And Max Fried is a 1B, right? So who do you think is the next domino to fall? And who do you think is impacted more? Do you think this gets Corbin Burns more money? Do you think he gets him less? Because I think him being at 182, whatever, pretty close to that 200 mark that Burns was expecting. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it pretty much helps guarantee Burns gets like 6 to 7 years at least. He's gonna at least get like 1 to 2 more years off of it. That's my guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a contract guy, but that would be how I would assume, because I do think that Snell going first makes a lot of sense for a variety of reasons, but I think him setting the market simply because he was, like again, the third perceived arm in this free agency class, that he would set the tone a little bit for the other contracts. I would say him and Fried are a wash, to be honest, like in terms of how much money they should get. So I would imagine Fried's going to get something similar. Maybe like 6 years. Oh no, did you just, oh no, I just lost Brandon.
Can you hear me? I knocked my camera over. Whoopsie.
What just happened there?
I knocked my little like camera over. I was adjusting the cable and I yanked it on accident. So hold on. My quality's trash. Let me switch cameras real quick, dude. This is the emergency bat cam, everyone.
Yeah.
Gonna whip around in a second.
We only have the top quality production equipment here at Deferred Collusion Studios.
That's how we do it, brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's still starting a new recording. Yeah, it's now it's going to record on a new device. Yeah, don't ever do that again, all right?
It was an accident.
No, I know. I'm fucking with you. It's recording on a new track. I hope this doesn't fuck it up. All right, whatever. We got a lot. So, I would say that it's going to be about the same. I mean, I would say, like, Fried and Snell should be something similar. Like, maybe Fried will get, like, one extra year because I think he's a year younger. Oh, no, again?
No, I'm still here. Okay? Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Are you on your camera now? Are you on the good camera?
No, I'm still on the shitty camera. I can't get it to switch over. It won't let me now. I think because it.
Okay, it's probably because we're like mid recording. That's why. Probably. Whatever. Just leave it on.
Sorry, everybody. I look so ugly, dude.
So that would be my guess. But we'll end it here because we're going a little long. So as the Dodgers rotation as it stands, with the addition of Blake Snell. Is Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Tony Gonsolin, potentially Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, potentially Walker Buehler, and potentially Roki Sasaki. If those reports are true, they have like legitimately a 7 to 8 man rotation right now as it stands. Potentially, you're not even talking about like River Ryan coming back in a year, Gavin Stone coming back in a year, Emmett Sheehan coming back after Tommy John.
Oh,
it's unbelievable how many pitchers the Dodgers have. I've never seen anything like this. I don't think anything like this has ever existed in the history of baseball. Who do you think that this affects Walker Buehler, and do you think this affects Roki Sasaki?
I do not believe that it affects Walker Buehler. However, I think that this officially is the end of our time with Jack Flaherty. I think this definitely means that they're not going to sign him. He had a great year last year, so he's going to look to cash in as he deserves to. But I think this means that there isn't a space for him. Like you said,
I think he should go back to the Tigers.
I think that'd be a good fit, but I've watched now he's going to go to the fucking Red Sox or something like that. Maybe the Giants because they're like, oh, you signed one of our pitchers. But who did you say after that?
Or the Angels, too. Maybe the Angels should sign him.
Right. Who did you say after that?
Sasaki and Buehler.
Yeah, so I don't think it affects Buehler, but for Roki. I do think it could affect Roki, and here's why. I do think that there's enough people bitching that maybe the MLB like comes in and blocks the potential signing of Roki Sasaki and NBA Chris Paul gets blocked to going to the Lakers. Maybe it's a little bit of something like that. That's what I could imagine. Baseball has a way of getting in its own way, you know, loves to do that. So that's my little two cents on Roki, but I am excited to see how this affects Fried and Mr. Corbin Burns. I do think though that Fried is going to the Phillies. You heard it here. Deferred Collusion.
Wow. I just don't, I gotta be honest, I don't see it. I see Mets, I see Red Sox, I see Rangers. I see those as like possible teams. I don't see Phillies, but if you want to compete with the Dodgers, I think the Phillies might have to do it. So I don't hate it at all.
The Phillies fans themselves a super team, brother. They're
yeah, it's true. I'll say this about Sasaki. I do think it affects because you have to question like, hey, where do I fit in? on the rotation this year. But if you're talking about like future years, I mean, Clayton Kershaw's not going to be around forever. Gonsolin's probably going to be gone when his rookie contract is up. Same maybe for Dustin May. Bueller might sign a short-term deal. Like, Sasaki has long-term value, and he can still pitch with Yamamoto and Shohei. And also, the pressure for Sasaki coming over from Japan, going to a Padres or going to the Mets, going to the Red Sox, something like that, where you would basically, they would be relying on you right away.
Yeah.
To be great. When there's potentially some arm issues and some injury stuff going on, he might want to go to a team where he can like learn, get some tutelage, and also kind of, I don't want to say rehab because we don't know for sure if he's injured, but just not a lot of pressure on you to like throw a ton of innings right away. Build up your arm strength a little bit. Figure things out with the baseball. And the Dodgers are a perfect place to do it because you can also win at the same time.
I agree. Jesse, I was about to zap you, dude, because I thought you were going to throw me a little curveball there, dude. But I didn't have to zap you. I was picking up what you were putting down. And, I mean, to be honest, I think we've said everything that could be said about the Dodgers signing left-handed pitcher Blake Snell for 5 years, 180-something, $52 million signing bonus. Fucking sick. I mean, Dodgers putting together a super team.
Congratulations to Blake Snell. And also, hey, before we go, congratulations to Blake Snell on breaking the news of your own signing.
That was cool.
All these leechy reporters can get in there and like be like, oh, first to it, Mark Feinstein, first to it, Jeff Passan, first to it, John Heyman. It's this weird like little like jerk-off session that all these MLB reporters have when they're the first to report something. Fuck you. Let the player report his own signing. That's what I'm talking about, Blake Snell. Let's go.
Let him report it. Let the kid report
it. All right,
brother.
That was a fun one.
All right,
hey,
big
thank
Jeff.
You guys so much. Make sure you guys like and subscribe and comment and engage and follow and do all that stuff. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere. Make sure you guys follow.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun. We'll hit you up with some more updates as they come for future signings. But until then, keep a collusion-y eye out for any deferred silliness out there, everybody. We'll keep an eye out for you as well.
I'm going to defer my take. I'm going to end with a really bad joke. Fuck you.
You're
have
like,
a good
end
one.
It, end See it, end it, dude. You're dead.